Welcome to Spark My Muse, everyone. I am your host, Lisa DeLay, and this is Soul School, Lesson 89. It is being released on December 20th, 2017, and if you're joining me during the time of its release, tomorrow will be winter solstice. Today I'm going to be concentrating on some of the themes that I like to be enriched by during this season of Advent, the time leading up to Christmas. All of those days are holidays leading up to Christmas time, and the solstice is the time that we also think about darkness and waiting, patience, anticipation, and all these themes that are persistent in the human story too at different times of the year, but particularly this time. It's for me a rich thing to embrace mystery and obscurity and darkness, and in a sense befriend it and not push it away, because it's so integral to what it means to be human. And often we are afraid of those things, of darkness and waiting, and we find great discomfort in them. But during this special season, when in the Northern Hemisphere the daylight is short and the nighttime is long, we can actually embrace those parts of ourselves within. So that's what I'm doing today, with the help of a special piece of work by Gail Boss. And she has written a lovely work called All Creation Waits. It's illustrated in 25 different pieces, too, by David C. Klein. I'm going to put links at sparkmymuse.com for this episode, Soul School 89, and in the show notes at patreon.com/sparkmymuse for this episode, so you can see some of the pictures there. These beautiful illustrations, black and white illustrations, and hopefully purchase this book that you can enjoy year after year during this time. It's great to read with children or just to reflect on for yourself. What happens during this time of the year is all the mammals slow down and take a hibernation period, and it's not far-fetched to think that as human mammals, it's also a time when we sleep more, we kind of store up for the winter. We gain a few pounds over the holidays by eating more and taking it easy a little more. Not to feel guilty about that, because all mammals seem to store up for the winter. And then when daylight comes around more in the days after the 21st of December, we get more light slowly but surely as the winter passes, and then we get more lively in the springtime. This beautiful book shows different pictures of a whole bunch of different creatures, and they're just gorgeous. I'm going to be sharing with you a little piece of what Gail Boss has, and I'll give you all the information to look at some of these yourself as samples. It's really a lovely seasonal book to get your hands on and cherish year after year and reflect on and come back to. Here's a little bit of a description of the book. Open a window each day of Advent into the natural world. There are 25 fresh images of the foundational truth that lies beneath and within the Christ story. In 25 portraits depicting how wild animals of North America ingeniously adapt when darkness and cold descend, we see and hear, as if for the first time, the ancient wisdom of Advent. The dark is not an end, but a door. The way a new beginning comes. Short daily reflections that paint vivid poetic images of familiar animals paired with charming original woodcuts will engage both children and adults. Anyone who does not want to be caught again in the consumer hype of the holiday season, but rather to be taken up into the eternal truth the natural world reveals, will welcome this book. I agree. So I'm going to read just a bit from the first one, which has to do with a painted turtle. It's for the first Advent reflection, and it begins with an introduction that is a quote from Meister Eckhart. Meister Eckhart, a Christian mystic. He writes, "Every single creature is full of God and is a book about God. Every creature is a word of God. If I spend enough time with the tiniest creature, even a caterpillar, I would never have to prepare a sermon. So full of God is every creature." Advent 1, Painted Turtle. The day is bright and warm for December 1st, but the logs in the marsh pond are bare. Spring to summer into early fall, they served on sunny days as spa to a dozen or so painted turtles. I would see them basking, splayed legs, stretching their leathery necks out full length, avid for every luscious atom of sunlight and sun warmth. Out of sight now, they've not escaped the harsher cold that's coming. The water is maybe waist deep in this pond, but a murky soup, clogged with roots and plants. One day in the fall, as water and air cooled, at some precise temperature, an ancient bell sounded in the turtle brain, a signal, take a deep breath. Each creature slipped off her log and swam for the warmer muck bottom. Stroking her way through the woven walls of plant stems, she found her bottom place. She closed her eyes and dug into the mud. She buried herself, and then pulled into her shell. Encased in darkness, she settled into a deep stillness. Her heart slowed and slowed, almost to stopping. Her body temperature dropped and stopped just short of freezing. Now, beneath a layer of mud, beneath the weight of frigid water and its skin of ice and skim of snow, everything in her has gone so still, she doesn't need to breathe. And anyway, the iced over pond will soon be empty of oxygen. Sunk in its bottom mud for 6 months, she will not draw air into her lungs. To survive a cold that would kill her, or slow her so her predators would kill her, she slows herself beyond breath, in a place where breath is not possible, and waits. As ice locks the marsh water, and howling squalls batter its reeds and brush, beneath it all she waits. It is her one work, and it is not easy. Oxygen depletion stresses every particle of her. Lactic acid pools in her bloodstream. Her muscles begin to burn, her heart muscle too, a deadly sign. That acid has to be neutralized, and calcium is the element to do it. Out of her bones, then out of her shell, her body pulls calcium, slowly dissolving her structure, her shape, her strength. But to move to escape, requiring breath, in a place where there is no oxygen, that would suffocate her. So, though she is dissolving, every stressed particle of her stays focused on the silver bead of utter quietude. It's this radical simplicity that will save her, and deep within it, at the heart of her stillness, something she has no need to name, but something we might call trust, that one day, yes, the world will warm again, and with it, her life. There are 24 other amazing little reflections that talk about animals, creatures, and also reflect on deeper truths. Beautifully written by Gail Boss. Fantastically written, I think. Reflect on deeper truths. Like, how many times do we need to hold our breath and wait in the murky bottom and wait and trust, even though it depletes us and maybe changes our shape and structure? It's excellent to reflect on these things during a dark period of the season, to the dark periods that we have in our hearts, in our lives. So I give you that now as a seasonal treasure. The next one is called Muskrat. It's absolutely adorable wood carving of a muskrat. And then the next one is called Black Bear. I will read, I'll skip to the Black Bear and read that one. It's very short and very well done. Walking the northern Michigan hardwoods where I was raised, restless, I make myself stand still. Somewhere in these 800 acres, a black bear is sunk in sleep. A month ago already, beneath some fallen tree or stump, she dug a den, rounded to the curl of her body. She raked bits of bark and grass over its floor and eased herself in. I crouch, close my eyes, and imagine that ball of furred muscle lax and loose somewhere nearby. For weeks before she lay herself down, her whole self had been shifting, making ready for another life. Late in summer, just when most berries and nuts ripen, she grew ravenous. 7-8 hours a day she camped in wild raspberry, blackberry, gooseberry, and huckleberry patches, pawing and licking fruit into her mouth, then to rest, dropping to her belly, and breathing in the fallen gems. Cloyed of sweet, she sniffed out savory jewelweed, swamp thistle, cattail, and sassafras, snacking on yellow jackets, ants, beetle larvae along the way, finishing the day in a grove of beech nuts or hazelnuts or hickory nuts, tripling, even quadrupling her usual day's calorie intake. Still, the trustworthy voice inside urged her, eat, eat more. Lush, warm Indian summer days were lost on her. Her gaze was fixed ahead, her every move food-purposed, her intention fierce and singular, until the voice prompted her an utter turnaround. Let go, it said. Go limp. The tree nuts and berry bushes are skeletons now. Crouched in the snow-muffled quiet, I imagine hearing her slow breathing. I imagine smelling slow-burning bear, the fat she made from all those nuts, berries, bugs, and plants melting and fueling her sleep. She is shrinking, except in the den deep inside her body. There she is multiplying, balls of cells swelling into new forms of her. Maybe she dreams of the life growing inside her. Did she foresee it all while she ate and grew? Did she perceive it when she lay down? Whatever hints or none she had of its purpose, she knew absolutely a compelling urge. She obeyed that urge, and now, in its own time, while she sleeps, it takes shape, two shapes. About 8 weeks from now, while she still sleeps, the cubs will tumble out of her, 10 ounces each and blind. They'll find her nipples and set straight to nursing. While she sleeps, they'll nurse and grow, their hunger draining her body's stores. In late March, when the air warms, she'll wake slowly. Imagine the moment, spent and thin, she finds 4 bright eyes looking back at her. It's so amazing and marvelous, the miracles of nature, the kind of everyday, every season miracles that bring new life and are grown in the darkness, in the dens of winter, and are grown really out of those preparations that happen, the times that we get ready for the darkness, and then in the darkness, maturation happens and growth happens to bring new life in the times of spring and greater light. So I will leave you hopefully meditating on those words and reflecting on them for what they might mean for your own life. And I invite you to come and respond to the reflection questions that will be up in the Patreon section of this episode, patreon.com/sparkmymuse for this episode, Soul School Lesson 89. Every week I post reflection questions to each episode, and contributors who support the show at just $1 get in on those reflection questions and can interact with other supporters and interact with me. And I wish you a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Holidays for this time. If you're listening to this at a different time of the year because you're just new to the show, I offer welcome to you. And please, you can get in touch with me at Twitter @SparkMyMuse or Twitter at Lisa DeLay. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you'll pass this episode on to somebody else. And I hope you'll get a hold of this book, All Creation Waits by Gil Boss. I'll see you next week.